With me on the phone line right now for my edition of Farmer Friday, I've got Ashley Winkie. She's with Pleasant Grove Homestead up there. Ashley, thanks for being with me here on KIIC.
Yeah, great to be here.
So many times with Farmer Friday, we think about the sows, plows, and cows and getting into the field and stirring up the dust and whatnot on that nature. Got a little different angle with your particular venture there, your enterprise at Pleasant Grove Homestead. Talk a little bit to our listeners about what you provide for marketing agricultural items.
Yeah, so we primarily focus on vegetables, fresh vegetables. We have, you know, your main farmer's market season, tomatoes, lettuce, cucumbers, onions, potatoes. We have about 43 different crops. But the other thing that we really specialize in is growing and storing crops year-round. And so we have a couple of high tunnels, which are made for planting in the ground, and it can hold plants like spinach and lettuce and kale all winter indoors in the ground, and we can harvest and get that product direct to consumer. And so we have, you know, those 43 different produce varieties, and then we also do poultry, which in Iowa, there's a very limited number of poultry processors, and so poultry is kind of a tough market to get into because it involves a lot of transporting when you're selling at our scale and you can't just process the bird at home by yourself and sell it to your neighbor. So we do that. And then this year, I finally think I can say that we're beekeepers. We struggled for quite a few years with keeping bees, and they're pretty mysterious. But I went into winter with 12 beehives, and I came out of winter with 10. And one of those was my own fault that I lost. So I think I'm learning how to be a better beekeeper finally, so I can add that to the docket of things that we do as well.
That's interesting to hear. Let's back up just a bit, talking about those high tunnels that you have, if I heard you correctly. Explain a little bit about the heating process. Obviously solar is a very important item, but do you also provide supplemental heat?
Okay, good question. So a high tunnel, you know, if you were to drive down the road, you would think it's like a greenhouse, but most people would just grow on tables in a greenhouse, and we're growing in the ground. So we have four of them, and I mean, they're pretty big structures, but one of them has heat, and last year the one that has heat, we have a wood boiler, and so the wood boiler is plumbed into the greenhouse. And we were actually harvesting some tomatoes out of that in January. And that was incredible, and that was mostly due to the mild winter that we had. Once we had that hard frost towards the end of January where it was like the super cold week, we lost the tomato plants then. But the other two tunnels that we have greens growing in the winter, they have two layers of plastic. And the two layers have like a insulation fan between them, and those have no heat, and it's always like about 45 degrees in there, which is perfect for tender sweet greens in the winter. You won't ever taste like spinach is way sweeter in the winter or early spring when it comes out of those tunnels than like if you think of eating a bowl of spinach in July that's had the sun heat on it. And so we just keep it about 45. If it were to get like super cold, we have these covers that we can put over the plants, but generally those two layers of, it'd be 6 mil plastic with the little bit of air between them, keeps it warm enough in there that that it doesn't need any extra heat.
So you're actually forcing some air in between those two sheets of plastic.
Yep.
To provide that insulation then.
Yep, and that helps. Yep, that helps a lot. And my husband is the, you know, the engineer and the hands-on guy behind it, but that's the description. And we also, some people will leave those high tunnels, like if you think about walking around a greenhouse, like flat, leave the ground around them flat on the outside. We actually have ours, the boards on the bottom, like buried into the ground a little bit, and that helps block air so that there's no gaps in air, just like your house. Your house stays warmer if you've got all the concrete blocks sealed up around the outside. And so we've got it sealed up pretty tight around the outside because we knew that we wanted to be able to grow in there all winter. And those row covers I was talking about that you can put on when it's really cold, it's kind of a huge time commitment because during the day you've got to go and remove them all because you don't want your crops to get too hot under the cover. And then at night you've got to make sure you're back in there to cover them up. And we're just too busy with too many other tasks that we'd forget. So the automation and the just having the high tunnel well insulated is much easier than having to worry about taking on and off covers every day.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, some people don't realize this, but there's some vegetables that are cool season crops, like you've talked about, and then there's warm season crops as well. So having that advantage of knowing which crop falls into that category helps you tremendously to grow the proper item, correct?
Yes. Yes, and we go through that a lot. I mean, I love offering advice to people, too, and I know there's a ton of people interested in growing their own food. And one thing we get asked a lot is, like, why does my lettuce always taste so bitter? I'm like, well, you didn't put it in the ground until May when you put your tomatoes in the ground, and, you know, then it's ready in July, and it's just too hot. And meanwhile, you know, we've been putting stuff in the ground already 2 or 3 weeks now, so it's almost like a whole different garden. You know, you're going to have your spring garden, and you can get all that stuff in the ground all the way up by Easter time, and then, you know, then you move into your tomatoes. But people just think of that last frost date, and they think they can't plant until after that frost date, when really you missed, like, a whole season by then.
Good point. Good point. I'm talking with Ashley Winky. She's with Pleasant Grove Homestead up there in Mahaska County. Tell us a little bit about that poultry action. You said that you got into it, but I think it was the eggs that led to the meat production. Is that correct?
Yeah, and actually our egg layers were kind of the first thing that ever came to our little 6.5 acre farm plot, we'll have you. We basically jumped after the first property that came up for sale that had some land with it, and it definitely wasn't the perfect property, but we just kept going to my in-laws to get eggs, and we kept, you know, we would get meat from them, and we would get meat from farm people. And I mean, Zach grew up on a row crop farm, and I grew up on with horses and in 4-H and what have you, call it a hobby farm. And so we picked up some chickens from my in-laws when we first moved here, and then we learned, you know, like, hey, well, if we had, you know, 10 chickens, we still have to buy the Tyson's feed, and it's pretty expensive. But if we had 100 chickens, then we could save some money buying bulk feed, and our neighbors need eggs, so hey, let's get 100 chickens and sell the neighbors some eggs. And so that's kind of how that started, and that now we're up to about 28 dozen eggs a day, 380 chickens that we raise on pasture, and sell eggs through some, to our neighbors and through farmers market, and then through some cooperatives, which are more like a retail store. So we have like that egg handler's license to sell our eggs in a grocery store, because 28 dozen a day is a bit more than what neighbors I have here in Barn City, Montezuma area.
Correct. Correct, absolutely. Hey, let's back up just a skosh, talking about the vegetables again. What about fertilizer? Do you have a plan? Do you just let it grow naturally? How do you go about that?
Yeah, so we like, first of all, to not get hung up on a lot of labels. Like, our goal is to get the best, healthiest, most nutritious food into our family's plates and onto our customers. However, We don't have any special, like, organic label or anything, but we actually don't use any chemical sprays on our produce. We don't use any fertilizer other than our manure and wood chips that we have from the wood boiler and the manure from our livestock. So that is what we use for fertilizer. We do buy, like, plant starter to start our plants, but that's the only purchase that we make. Otherwise, everything comes full circle off our farm, and we manage our pests and our weeds by hand or by cover. And so that to us, actually, like, whether you agree or disagree with, like, spraying for pests, the covers are easier than walking around with a sprayer when you have hundreds and hundreds of cabbages in the field, for example. If you can just have a light, we have these light covers that go over top of them that keep cabbage worms off. To me, that's way less labor than going out every 8 days with a spray bag of something. So that's our chosen option for sprays and fertilizers.
All right. I'm talking with Ashley Winke with Pleasant Grove Homestead. Let's get into the marketing that you have. Sure, you plant those and grow those items and get some income during the winter months, but your main time is summer. And talk about those market spots that you hit to get that produce, that fresh produce out.
Yeah, our biggest market is the Oskaloosa Farmers Market. You can find us there every single Saturday starting May 18th. And that market goes from 8 to 11 every day all the way until usually the last week of October. But sometimes I've still got stuff growing and I just keep showing up if the weather's, you know, last year we had really nice weather all through November. So
yes, we
we'll extend the season a bit if we can. And so Oskaloosa is a nice little hometown market with a variety of different kinds of, you know, craft vendors, produce vendors, just a good variety of people, and it's right there on the square in front of the courthouse. Sometimes we'll pop over to Sigourney, and that one is on a Wednesday. And Sigourney also, super beautiful square and super good people. Just being on a Wednesday is sometimes hard for me to hit, but I like to hit that one when I can. and then for folks that happen to live up by Des Moines, we do sell through it's called the Iowa Food Cooperative, and people actually order our products online, and then, like, let's say the order deadline is Sunday, then they send me a list of what people ordered online, and I deliver it there in the middle of the week. And so that one, and then there's another one of those in Grinnell called Grinnell Farm to Table. So those two are kind of unique because as a producer, the frustrating thing about a farmer's market is, like, let's say Friday, perfect day outside, and I spend all day picking all my lettuce and tomatoes and cucumbers, but then Saturday it's raining. Then nobody comes to the market, and I picked all this stuff, and now I can't move it. But those cooperatives are nice because it's all ordered online, so the weather doesn't matter to those folks.
That's good. That's
and
true.
As long as I can pick it and get it there, it's sold, versus, like, now what do I do with all of these vegetables that I picked and had a slow market and couldn't move?
Yep, that makes sense. Now, I'm assuming, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but people can come to your location as well. Is that right?
Yes. And a couple things to know. So on our PleasantGroveHomestead.com, you can click shop and you can order all of our products online for any of our pickup options. When we first started, we had this little red shed that was self-serve, and people could just come and put their cash in the box and take what they wanted. But it's really hard to keep it monitored. And now that we have meat and more products, we don't use that shed anymore because it was just too hard to manage what everybody wanted. So I do really need those ordered in online, especially I'm due with baby number 4 any day. And so if I know that you're coming, I can make sure that I have that order picked and ready for you, and make sure that we're not leaving you hanging without something picked, because people miss that sometimes. Like, I don't necessarily have a bag of lettuce on hand right now, but if you order online, I know you need it. Otherwise, you might be waiting on us to pick it, or we're off doing something else and we're not able to go pick it and wash it and bag it for you right away.
All right. So, I'm talking with Ashley Winky for an installment of Farmer Friday. And again, if you'd like to listen to this podcast over again, go to www.kiicradio.com, pick that audio vault tab, and then go ahead on the right side and find this podcast and listen to it all over again. Ashley Winky of Pleasant Grove Homestead, thank you for being with me here for our edition of Farmer Friday.
Thank you.